Hi, this is Misha Tate, and you're listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Stitch Duran, and you're listening to Carson's Corner. Make sure you stay tuned in.
This is Justin Ray Harvey, Frank Duke's student. You're listening to the best of the best shows on the web and beyond. Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
This is Bo, the one-man army Taylor, media darling and Midwest champion of the world. You're listening to the only radio show that's hard-hitting, keeps it real, and does not pull punches. Carson's Corner.
This is the coach, Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to the best in mixed martial arts, Carson's Corner.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, g'day, this is Justin Lawrence calling from my backyard in Australia, mate. You're listening to Bob Carson, the finest investigative journalist in mixed martial arts history. Listen to his show, I love it.
Hey, this is Joey Odessa, and you're listening to me on the Bob Carson Show, the show that lets no words barred give a whole new perspective to no holds barred.
These days, it's not much fun at Bally's and Caesars in Atlantic City. The CEO is playing the corporate greed game, cutting dealers' hours, cutting retirement and health benefits, even breaking the law by refusing to bargain. Yet he paid himself $39 million last year, with plenty of perks.
Place your bets.
When Bally's and Caesars play games with casino dealers, it's not fun for anybody. And everybody loses. That's why the UAW Atlantic City Dealers Union paid for this time.
Carson's Corner is brought to you by www.graythought.com. That's www.graythought.com. Folks, welcome to Carson's Corner. As you know already, I am Bob Carson. This is August 12th, 2011. Summer's almost gone, huh? We've got an excellent show for you today, as always. Our guest today is going to be Charlie Brenneman, the Spaniard, who recently stepped in on late notice to defeat Rick Story in a UFC main event. We caught up with Charlie today and asked him a string of fully relevant and interesting questions, as you would expect. I completely avoided questions such as, tell us about your training and tell us what it means to be fighting in the UFC like you've heard or read on certain news sites and forums. I'm not naming any names, folks, but come on, okay? This is the sport where two men or women beat each other up inside a cage, all right? If you can't think of interesting things to ask professional athletes, you might need to consider a new career path. This is one of the reasons why we have one of the hugest fan bases amongst all the MMA shows, okay? We have thousands of people that listen to this show, and it's because, partially because of our great interviews. Our research, Donnie, and the rest of the staff here do a great job, and I have a great way of doing interviews. So, today is no exception. Charlie Brenneman will be on the show. He's coming off a huge win in the UFC main event, and he's set to take on the incredibly dangerous but somewhat inconsistent striker and wrestler, Anthony Johnson. Rumble is one of the most feared guys at 170 due to his absolutely terrifying punching power and size, but some people thought he phoned it in against Hardy and backed out of the slugfest he called for before the fight. Was it just gamesmanship on Johnson's part, or did he lose his nerve? And what's up with his apparently huge size? I asked Brenneman some of those questions, and you'll hear his responses right now. Donnie, let's play that interview. When we come back, it'll be news and rumors. And guess what, folks? We have listener emails today, okay? It's been a while since we played emails here, or since we read emails here on Carson's Corner, but today we are returning with your listener emails. Here it is. Here is my interview with Charlie Brenneman. Charlie, thank you very much for coming on the show today. How are you doing?
My pleasure, man. I'm doing pretty well. Pretty whooped from my hard day of training.
Yeah, I want to give a quick shout-out to your mom for helping us set this interview up. Our unpaid intern, Donnie, said she was one of the nicest people he's ever dealt with.
I greatly appreciate that. She's a great mom and a great woman.
I know you're a busy guy, and we're not going to keep you too long here, so let's just sort of skip the preamble and get right to the questions here. I read that you won the first season of Pros vs. Joes on your Wikipedia page. I imagine that there are ups and downs filming a TV show like that. Did you have a good time with it overall?
Yeah, you know what? It was, I don't really have any downs, to be honest. You know, it was to the point. We didn't have that much waiting. You know, it wasn't like some of these, you know, stand and wait. You know, they had it pretty well organized. The pro, great. You know, I ended up winning and taking home some money in the car, so it was like, you know, it was icing on the cake.
How much editing goes into something like that?
So for our show, for my individual show, not much. I mean, there's obviously scenes that they didn't use, but I mean, nothing, you know, thankfully, because I was worried about that. Nothing, you know, I wasn't portrayed, you know, unfairly.
I see, yeah. What sort of pro sports people did you have to compete against? Were there any athletes who you were particularly impressed or underwhelmed by?
Sometimes I forget a name here or there, but the list was Herschel Walker, and this was divided by two episodes. Herschel Walker, John Rocker, Darren Dalton, Brandi Chastain, women's soccer player, Justin Gatlin, the Olympic sprinter, Dominique Wilkins, Xavier McDaniel, Clyde Drexler, Kevin Green. That might be it. You know what? They were all of the pros that I met were extremely nice. They were athletic. They were big dudes. You know, it was pretty much everything I expected. Some of the other guys that, some of the other pros that the other episodes had, they, you know, spoke differently of some of their pros, but everyone I met was really cool.
That's awesome. I mean, that's a quite an intriguing cast of characters there, and to have to work with people like that must be a great honor for you.
Yeah, it was very cool, and you know, that was probably the event that actually sparked my yearning to compete again. And, you know, that was pretty much the event.
I've also heard that you have a background in education as a former high school Spanish teacher. Was there something in particular that sparked your interest in education?
You know what? It was more Spanish. When I was a kid, when I was in seventh or eighth grade, we had an exchange student from Spain stay with my family. And I was just fascinated by, you know, he came on day one, he knew no English at all, and it was, you know, hand signals and notions and stuff like that. And then when he left, he spoke perfect English. So it was really that, you know, the foreign language that drew me, and then education was just one way of using that.
What sort of experience did you have returning to your old high school to become a teacher? It almost sounds like it could be the setup for an Adam Sandler movie or something.
Yeah, you know what, it was great. You know, it was a little awkward, you know, my coworkers now addressing them by first name and not Mr. and Mrs. because some of those people I had in the past. The administration, the kids thought it was cool. You know, it was just at that time I wasn't fighting at all. I was just a college wrestler. And then when I got on the show, Pros vs. Joes, you know, that was a really neat thing for everyone involved. So it was a positive experience.
You're coming off a huge win over Rick Story. Before we talk about fan reaction to the huge upset, can you take us quickly through how you found out you were fighting and what went on behind the scenes? I understand it wasn't a sure thing until fairly close to the day of the show.
Yeah. So Wednesday I got to Pittsburgh. They told me TJ Grant was out. I didn't have a fight, and then I still had to make weight. So, you know, I obviously, I was pretty miserable and unhappy. And then, let's see, Thursday afternoon, my manager came to me and said, hey, you know, there's a slight chance you may be on, but we're not going to know. Nobody knows when we're going to know. And then when we got the weigh-ins on Friday, literally at about 3:15, weigh-ins were at 4, they said, Mark Holt's out, you're in. And then that's, you know, all the whirlwind happened right then.
Your victory over Story was treated as a huge upset, although I think most analysts worth their salt gave you a great shot at beating him based on your skill level and the matchup. How confident were you about beating Story when he was coming off that big win over Thiago Alves?
You know, whether he had a big win or no wins or loss, it really didn't matter. I just knew that, you know, from watching his fights in the past, that I felt, you know, personally I was going to win that fight, and there was no question in my mind. I mean, it was, you know, every fight is just implementing your game plan, but I knew against him that I was better at what he is good at. So, you know, it was just doing what's right, having, you know, somewhat of a game plan with my trainer and coach, and then just kind of putting it into action.
So basically proceeded basically as you expected?
Yeah, exactly how I expected, to be honest.
There was some minor controversy over the refereeing in the story fight, because you were stood up during a Kimura attempt, although the action had definitely slowed down by that point. How deep did he have the Kimura grip, and how confident were you that you could have defended it for the duration of the round?
There was, and I say this with all honesty, there was nothing on that Kimura. I didn't even know that he had a Kimura until after the fight. You know, someone asked me, like, what do you think about the stand-up? And I was like, well, what are you talking about? And then I rewatched the fight, and I was like, oh, yeah, it was nothing. You know, I will say later on in the fight, there were a couple close instances, like when he had that triangle locked on, it was, you know, it was getting pretty tight. But, you know, in that particular instance, I was in no danger.
Yeah, and let's say that you two had stayed in that position until the round ended with you on top and him holding the Kimura. Who would you say should have won that round, or should it have been considered a draw?
I honestly couldn't tell you that, and I will say that had we been there for much longer, I would have escaped. At that point, I was kind of holding the position, waiting for him to move. If we would have sat in that stalemate, I would have definitely initiated some offense from there.
Yeah, it's tough to score. I mean, it's some people don't even think there should be stand-ups at all during submission attempts, but you know, who knows? I think referees are trained enough to know when. You know, nothing's happening, and, you know, therefore they'll restart the action. I want to talk about your next fight. Anthony Johnson is known as a hugely talented fighter who I think had some problems being consistent in the past. What do you think about the Anthony Johnson matchup?
You know, I like it. Obviously, he's a huge dude.
Right.
And that's what everyone says first and foremost. But the bottom line is we're both going to weigh in at 170. And that's a choice that we both make, so I really don't care. It's not kind of factoring into anything, you know, in a negative way for me. I like the matchup. You know, I'm going to do what I do, and that's push the pace and keep him on his heels, and I think if I can do that, then I'm going to be fine.
Yeah, sometimes he comes out and looks like a monster, destroying his opponent in the first round. Other times he misses weight and gasses and gets choked out. Do you have any theories or thoughts on Johnson's struggle to maintain his momentum in the UFC?
I don't really. I mean, I know he's had a couple injuries that probably get in the way. His ginormous weight cut every single time. I mean, that can't be good in any way.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm sure those two factors, you know, right out front, I'm sure play a role.
And there are also some pictures of him where he, based on his TV appearance, a couple appearances where he appears to have put on a lot of weight. And so, you know, he's going to be cutting a tremendous amount of weight going into this fight, which would be my guess.
Yeah, I saw him a week ago at UFC 133, and he was definitely well over 200 pounds.
How do you see the fight going with him? I mean, how do you two match up as wrestlers?
You know, as wrestlers, I think I definitely have an advantage. You know, it is a fight, so that only matters so much. But, you know, if I were his coaches and his, you know, his people, I would try to stay on the outside, and I would try to use his length and his power and keep me on the outside.
Do you expect to have some difficulty dictating where the fight goes against someone his size with a wrestling background, or is that not a concern for you?
It's really not a concern. You know, every guy is different. You know, some guys, I've had a lot harder time taking down who don't happen to have good wrestling. You know, whenever it's a fight, all those dynamics change. So that's something that I won't really know until I get in there. I will say I don't think his size will be the difference that may prevent a takedown. Maybe his skill is much better than I anticipated.
Let's say you beat Johnson any which way. That surely has to help you get to the top or nearer the division, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say at the top, but I would say, you know, two fights away from the title, something like that.
Charlie, we really appreciate you coming on the show. There's definitely more we could talk about sometime down the line. We'd love to have you back on the show. Is there anywhere listeners can keep up with you? Do you have a Twitter account or any social networking sites?
Absolutely. I keep everything updated. My website is charlie-friendman.com. Off there, I have a link to my blog, which I update several times a week. And also, you can follow me on Twitter, @SpaniardMMA.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, and good luck in your next fight.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks again to Charlie for being on the show. We wish him the best against Anthony Johnson. Anthony Johnson is a dangerous man. Donnie, my unpaid intern, just reminded me that Joe Riggs said the same thing about himself before he was sidelined by injury issues and some personal problems. That's very true, Donnie. Even a broken and extremely undersized clock is right twice a day, I guess, okay? Could Anthony Johnson end up being the Black Joe Riggs? I want to point out that Donnie came up with that name himself. I'm just repeating it to let you know what he says behind the scenes here, okay? It looks like he's about to cry. Let's move on. Actually, what's happening with Joe Riggs? I don't mean to offend him or Johnson by making the comparison, but I just think they both have similar huge potential, which has been disrupted somewhat by issues outside of the ring. We had Joe Riggs on the show a few years ago, and it was one of the best interviews he had done for quite time. Maybe we'll get him back in here. He's training in Arizona. And, you know, a funny story. I'll save it for later. Actually, Phil Baroni, heard that interview, and he was very offended by yours truly, saying that he was punch drunk. And Phil was on a conference call with another MMA radio guy, and he mistook the MMA radio guy for me, and he totally mixed us up. It was Eddie Goldman, of course. Phil was on with Eddie Goldman, and Eddie started asking him a question, and Phil started snapping at him because he thought that Eddie was me. I thought that was funny. That happened like a couple years ago, right, obviously before Joe Riggs demolished Phil Baroni. All right, some news and rumors here. Shannon Rich and Misha Tate in iPhone game. I want to just take a second and remind you that our friends Shannon Rich and Misha Tate have just appeared in a new game for Apple mobile devices, including the iPad and iPhone. It's called MMA Battleground, and it's a casino slots game featuring Misha and Shannon punching and kicking out bonuses. It's also it also has a pregame mode based around trying to make weight. Sounds pretty funny for those who like that sort of thing. The company behind it is an Arizona-based Faro Entertainment run by Troy Zararski. Of Design Works Gaming. Wow, I butchered that. Yes, the name of the company is Faro Entertainment by Troy Zararski of Design Works Gaming. There you go. The game costs $2.99 or something like that, and it's not that expensive, okay? So it's not going to leave your wallet on a mandatory medical suspension like Tito Ortiz. That's just a joke for long-time listeners of the show who remember the absolutely bizarre diva-like requests of Tito Ortiz when we communicated with him about appearing on the show. I can only assume that Tito was going through a rough patch at that time. His demands were quite unusual by normal interview standards. That's how I choose to describe it, folks. Another guy that I've had an awkward encounter with was Rico Rodriguez. I mean, Rico, I know we're not supposed to talk about off-air encounters with people, and I won't go into any more detail. Let's move on quickly. Tito, how about doing a free interview sometime? We'd still love to talk to you about some of the things going on. Mario Yamasaki, this is a scoop that you're only going to hear on Carson's Corner, okay? The Association of Boxing Commissions was in Washington, D.C. just over a week ago making decisions that will impact both boxing and mixed martial arts. Most of the bigwigs from both sports were in D.C., schmoozing and such. They're all hanging out together, making themselves feel good while drinking excessively and chasing women. That's the type of lifestyle that the people in the ownership class live. Anyway, the convention also had a series of seminars a couple weeks ago, and with the idea that the seminars were supposed to help officials get better at judging. On July 30th, Mario Yamasaki taught a seminar for MMA referees. Lots of refs from around the country came to this thing. One of our Carson's Corner correspondents was there as an MMA referee. This guy sends us information from time to time, so you can imagine that we were very happy to hear from him yesterday. He reported in to us about what went on at Yamasaki's referee seminar last Saturday. Get this, folks. Yamasaki badmouthed Joe Rogan and Dana White. He posted pictures of them on his big screen and stated that they often spouted off at the mouth before they think. How about that? I wonder what all the referees in the classroom did when he said those things. Did they laugh along? Did they agree? I think it probably would be hard not to laugh in a situation like that. Mario is a pretty low-key guy as a ref, and that's a good thing. So hearing him crack on people in person in that sweet accent, he must have made it a fun seminar for those who attended, I'm sure. Anyway, our friend of the show told us that Mario Yamasaki also put up a picture of Steven Seagal and made fun of him for taking credit for the kicks delivered by Anderson Silva and Lyoto Machida. Yamasaki seems like a good guy, but Seagal just might kick his ass. I can only imagine that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt like Mario would be completely helpless against a man of Steven Seagal's stature. Really. I'll have to have Frank Dukes on to analyze a potential matchup between Mario Yamasaki and Steven Seagal, okay? Hey, it seems like a long time since we've spoken to our good friend Frank Dukes. We had a run of shows with him as a reoccurring guest, and I tried to get him to come on the show tonight. Frank is traveling. He's a very busy man, so we'll have him on the show, I'm sure, soon enough. Folks, I lied. I lied about the listener emails. Remember at the top of the show I said that there were listener emails? I lied. I'm sorry. You know, we could have put a couple listener emails into the show because, you know, we had a short show. But you know what? I promise you, I will make a point to put some listener emails in our next show. Let me just tell you how you can follow me and follow some of my other projects. You can go to twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA and you can follow me on Twitter. I can't tell you the amount of MMA people that follow me on Twitter account. It's pretty high. It's a pretty high number. A lot of people listen to the interviews and they listen to the show and they friend me on Facebook or, you know, they follow me on Twitter. You can friend me on Facebook. Just type in Bob Carson. And if you type in Donnie Riley, which is our unpaid intern, he's also a friend of mine. You can friend Donnie as well, okay? He's lonely. He's only got like 21 friends or something like that, okay? And lastly, if you're interested in politics, please follow my political show at bobcarson13.podomatic.com. We are one of the hottest progressive podcasts in the country, folks. I'm telling you. We're usually ranked one or two in the country. And we've got a lot of big things going on, a lot of great guests. I interviewed Frank Schaefer on Wednesday. Frank Schaefer, of course, is from the famous Francis Schaefer evangelical family. And this is the guy that started the anti-abortion movement. I'm not kidding you. Frank Schaefer is a legend. And he's completely switched. He's now speaking out against the violent Tea Party and, you know, the more violent elements of the right wing in this country. The guy is on point. He's one of the most brilliant men in this country, and it was an honor. He even recorded a promo for my show. Frank Schaefer, you'll be able to catch that online tomorrow if you go to undergroundprogressiveradio.webs.com and you click the Listen Live link. You'll be able to hear my interview with Frank Schaefer. Also, that interview will be up on Monday on my political web show website, bobcarson13.podomatic.com, okay? You can catch Carson's Corner, the political show, Saturday and Sunday from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. only on Underground Progressive Radio. Go to undergroundprogressiveradio.webs.com and you can stream the show Saturday and Sunday, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Or if you want, go to my Facebook page and I always post a link to the stream when the show is streaming. You can listen to it that way as well, okay? All right, folks, that's it for this week's edition of Carson's Corner. Keep those emails coming at carsonscorner@gmail.com. Show some respect. And we'll be back sometime soon.